The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the latest edition of Inside the Huddle. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. My partner in crime, TJ Inman, will be joining us shortly. We have a great show set up for you. We have Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune coming on to talk about Donovan Hale, Indiana quarterback, who's fighting for that number two spot. And we're going to talk about fall camp, how it's going. It got a little chippy yesterday to the delight of Kevin Wilson. Anyway, TJ, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Sammy. I'm really, really starting to feel the excitement that we have building up. Our countdown's now well under 30 days, and that really feels like we've turned the corner to where it's, I guess you can say, see the light at the end of the tunnel here in this offseason.
Yeah, we're
it's time.
Yep, definitely. We're in the last quarter of our countdown, and we're going to welcome in Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune to talk a little bit about Donovan Hale. Lyndon, how are things down in Florida?
Good. Can't complain. It's a sunny day, and just loving the football, and it's that time of year again, so can't be any more excited.
Yep. Lyndon, Donovan Hale came to IU last year. He was a signee of the 2015 class. Not many people know about him. Can you just give us an overview of what we should expect him to be able to do at quarterback?
Well, I see you guys got a pretty good quarterback there this year. I think, maybe next year, he could start, but, he could definitely fill in this year if need be. He's really long and athletic, put up some really good numbers, has a really good frame. He's one of the best basketball players in the county, was a McDonald's All-American nominee. Basketball-wise, so he's really athletic. He's got a cannon of an arm, reads defenses pretty well, and he's really tough to bring down, even if you get to him. He can extend plays. So he's really just has some really good God-given ability. And if he gets in there, I think he could, do a good job and be reliable. I mean, he's not a guy who's going to turn it over. So he's a heady guy, and he has a lot of abilities.
What does he bring to the run game as a quarterback? You said he does have a cannon arm. IU's probably is solid at starter. Unless there's an injury there, I don't see anybody else starting for them. But what does Donovan Hale bring with his feet that he might show in a wildcat formation or every so often in a two quarterback goal line type of situation?
Well, he's really long. He's got like a Terrell. He's not quite as tall as Terrell Pryor, but he has that kind of like frame and long legs. So, once he gets going, he can really churn up and get to the outside. But he's really, he's tough to bring down, just really big. So he gets to the outside, he can do some damage, and he has really good hesitation moves that he gets from basketball. So if someone comes up on him, he can really make that initial guy miss and just extend plays. I don't know in the Wildcat if he's like a burner that's going to take it the distance, but he could get, 20, 30-yard gains easy. But again, not the breakaway speed that's going to be a long home run threat, but he can definitely extend plays and do some damage out of the Wildcat for sure.
See, big enough physically, you said he's long. As a freshman, it's putting on the pounds, and he has good frames to add weight. Is he big enough physically to get those 1 or 2 yards on a quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
On fourth down?
Certainly. Oh, certainly. He's really big. He dishes the blow. When he gets hit, he's still churning. He's still going. He likes contact. He took a lot of hits last year. At the end of the season, as you well know, he had a big season-ending injury that inhibited him from playing basketball, which was after football. So, obviously he's used to getting contact and getting hit, and I heard his knee's doing well, and I heard he's doing really well at practice. I heard, from a lot of people, some of you guys, that, he's doing well. So I think he can do some good things, and certainly big enough to extend plays and get those fourth and ones, those third and twos, move the pile a little bit. So.
Yeah, he looks good at practice. He throws a good deep ball that I've seen. We haven't seen all the practices or just the bits and pieces we've seen. He looks to throw a good ball. I could see him sliding into that number two spot. Coach Wilson talked about yesterday how they're trying to prepare for the future without Sudfeld, how there's a guy for a backup spot this year who might be in the mix for a starting spot next year, or a guy who you might have to redshirt for the future to get that extra year and a backup. So right now I could see him kind of winning that second quarterback role. Lyndon, also, there are a couple recruits IU has their eyes on down there. Can you speak on that? Recruiting season never really ends. So can you tell us a little bit about how they're doing down there?
Oh, they're doing a great job. You know, I'm at Admiral Farragut practice right now. They got a long 6'6" defensive end named Jeremiah Zio, who you're going to hear a lot of. And I think Indiana offered him. Of course, Matt Landers. I mean, he got a UF offer 2 weeks ago. So he's going to be a stud, long 6'5" wide receiver. You know, obviously Craig Watts. Who else here? Just trying to think off the top of my head. Zion Rowland, another guy down here, 2018. But they've been doing pretty good in their 2016 class. You know, Key Wetzel, he's another big name that is gaining Oregon interest, Auburn interest, and he's got an Indiana offer. They're high on his list, I think. So if you're getting, you know, the two stars, the three-star, four-star recruits that still have you in their list, that means Indiana's doing a really good job because they're in the top 3 to 5 on a lot of those kids' lists. So they do a good job down here. Fry, obviously, is a great guy. People really relate to him. And Indiana's really good about offering kids early, you know, in their, you know, junior year, sophomore year. So kids trust them, and they remember that they were the first offer. So Indiana does a really good job down here.
All right. Well, thanks, Lyndon. Thanks for hopping on for a few minutes. It's always great to talk to you. Just tell us a little bit about where you're working now and where to follow you on Twitter.
I'm just working Tampa Tribune, covering Pinellas County, 247 Sports, covering USF, doing some freelance work for the Bradenton Herald. So just working hard and trying to help promote the kids down here. And you can find me
awesome.
On Twitter at Lyndon O. So LYNDEN_O.
Awesome, Lyndon. Well, we'll check back in with you. We'll keep you updated on Donovan Hale. Thanks for all that insight. He's, you know, relatively unknown up here, so hopefully Hoosier fans now know a little bit more about, you know, a potential number two quarterback. Go enjoy the beautiful Florida weather and football practice.
Yeah, thank you. And, hey, watch out for Hale on the basketball court. Next call. I'm telling you, he's a stud down there too. You'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. You know, Jordan Fuchs from IU football played some basketball last year. We'll see if Tom Crean's crew needs another player. Well, thanks, Lyndon, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sammy.
TJ, some interesting things that have, Lyndon touched upon with Hale. He's long, athletic. He's not your typical, you know, just running quarterback. He has a cannon of an arm. He throws a good deep ball. We saw at practice, and he could be in the mix for the number two spot, especially if they want to bring that different dynamic in there. But he could also be redshirted if they think he's good enough to play. And start down the future. So it's an interesting crossroads that they have to meet here.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit surprised that he has generated as much positive momentum as he has. It seems from the coaching staff and from people that have seen practice. I did not think that he'd be this quick up to speed at quarterback. You know, we knew that he was a good athlete coming in, and we'd heard from Lyndon before when we've had him on the show that he liked Donovan Hale quite a bit. In addition to Jonathan Crawford, another Pinellas County guy that Indiana has working at safety. But, you know, we knew he was high on Donovan Hale, and I trust Lyndon's word there. But I'm surprised that Donovan has asserted himself so quickly into that backup quarterback position. And I think you said it very well earlier that IU is attempting to plan for the future. We know that Nate Sudfeld is a senior. And after that, you really want to spread out your quarterbacks so you don't have three guys in the same class and then you're without a quarterback in a particular class. That's what you're looking to avoid. They were trying to get Diamant the redshirt last year. We all know what happened. He had to have it, burned to play. I think it's certainly expected Austin King is going to redshirt this season. And I think that they would ideally like to go ahead and get Diamant the redshirt so he would then be a redshirt sophomore in 2016 competing for the starting position. Then you have another quarterback coming in the 2016 class who would then redshirt. So he would be a true freshman, Austin King, a redshirt freshman. Donovan Hale, who knows what class he's going to be in. That's still to be determined. And then Diamant, the redshirt sophomore. So you're kind of spreading it out. You don't have that that log jam in one class. But it's definitely, as we know, things can change quickly with transfers at that position. Guys do not like to wait around to play. It's just going to be really interesting, like you said, a crossroads for Donovan Hale. But it's clear that the IU coaches think quite a bit of him, giving him this opportunity right now. And I know you've been pretty impressed by what you've seen at his practice so far.
Yeah, actually, the quarterback depth for IU, it looks pretty solid this year. You have Nate Sudfeld, of course, and then Danny Cameron has really looked like he has control of the offense and would be the guy to come in a blowout situation or to just get reps and give Sudfeld a blow. Diamant looks stronger, bigger and stronger. He's throwing a good ball. Hale, of course. So there's, four guys who could who could play. You can't play them all, of course, and you don't want to take Sudfeld off the field often because he is your best player on offense. But other than that, it looks leaps and bounds better than last year in terms of depth. And somebody's going to redshirt and somebody's going to have to play it down in the future. So that's that. Also, go ahead.
Yeah, if you were guessing, we certainly do not want to project injury onto anyone. But worst case scenario, let's say something does happen to Nate Sudfeld where he's out for a few games. Let's say he's going to be out for 3 weeks. I think we agree Danny Cameron's kind of the mop-up duty guy, and maybe if Sudfeld is out for like a half, you're playing Danny Cameron. I think that's probably we agree on that. But let's say he's out for 3 weeks. Do you think that they go with Diamant, or do they really want to redshirt him and they're going to do that at all costs? Who do you think the guy would somebody in for an extended period of time?
I would have to say that it would be Diamant. He has a lot of game experience under his belt. He has just better control of the offense right now, a better understanding. He's can make more plays than Cameron with both his arm and his feet. That's not a knock on Danny Cameron. It's just, Diamant has played. He's played in these big venues. He played at Ohio State. He played at Michigan. He played, Penn State and Michigan State at home. So he's played in these big-time venues, and he should be the guy if, God forbid, Sudfeld goes down with an injury, that would happen. That way you could redshirt Hale and Austin King. But don't be surprised if he does go down, maybe they alternate quarterbacks between Danny Cameron and Xander Diamant, because Xander's still a little, Wilson said he's a little careless with the ball and makes him nervous. So he might be on a short lease. So don't be surprised if Sudfeld does go down long term, a week or two more, that to see both of them play at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's hope let's hope that's all strictly hypothetical and we do not have to cross that bridge, because I don't think that we'd like what the IU offense looked like, no matter who was throwing the ball, quite as much as we would if Sudfeld's back there. As you said, he's IU's best offensive player. Losing him would be a bad thing, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, and we're going to bring in Nick Holmes. Nick's going to join us. He's our another writer for us at Hoosier Huddle. He's been down at a couple of the practices at Media Day. Nick, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Great.
Doing fantastic. So, Nick, I was down at practice yesterday, and I put out in our practice report that it got a little chippy yesterday. between Austin Doris and Brandon Wilson. There's a little scrum. It wasn't anything serious. It's something that Wilson actually gave a little smirk about and is happy to see, as long as it doesn't cross the line into Geno Smith, New York Jets territory, where, you know, people are cold cocking each other in the locker room and breaking jaws. But, you know, that competition, it hasn't been seen at IU all that often, and it's something that, you know, he said brothers fight, and this is just a case of a little brotherly love, and he made them go right after each other. What have you taken away? I know you were down at one practice. What have you taken away of the physicality of the practices and the competition of these young guys?
Well, the day that we were there, or the first one I was at, they were just in their lids, so it was hard to take a lot from it, but you could just tell that they have a lot of guys to rotate in and out. At wide receiver, they were just, you know, bringing a lot of guys into the slot. The usual names that you would expect, maybe Damon Graham. And so, I mean, there really wasn't a lot to take. I thought Marquis Hawkins looked the part from where I was standing on the sideline the other day. Really love the tight end position. Now, we've all said that all offseason, that should definitely be a spot on the team that should really thrive. And the possibility, like we talked about, Sammy, of maybe splitting Fuchs out into the slot and taking advantage of either a smaller nickelback or a slower weak side linebacker.
Yeah, it's definitely – they're going to have the potential to be a matchup nightmare on offense. I don't want to delve into too many state secrets, but it's they have a lot of options at receiver and at tight end and a lot of different body types now, which is a change from last year where they were relatively small at the receiver position and were playing guys who were undersized. And now they could, you know, maybe move Dom Booth into the slot and create a matchup mismatch and have Simi Cobbs on the outside. And, you know, if Cameon Patrick, if they could pull off this miracle and get him into school, they could be real dangerous again on offense. And, you know, the running game, Tommy Mister yesterday would look good. He was running over guys, albeit freshmen, but there was still – he still looks explosive and is running over people. So, you know, the running back position is going to be very deep as well. And you could see four or five guys play there. And all those guys are going to play special teams, the guys who don't get the majority of the reps. But if they do go to more of a running game, which people have hinted at, you could see Jordan Howard get 20 carries. You could see Devine Redding get 15 carries and maybe split up, you know, time between. You know, Alex Rodriguez tweaked an ankle yesterday, but, you know, between Brookings and Mister, maybe split up another 10 or 15 carries there. So the depth on the offense is terrific. Defense, they're a little young. So it's the front seven looks good. The defensive backs, it's going to be a rotation, and it's definitely going to – they're going to shuttle guys in and out, especially during those first two games, to see who could settle into one of those positions.
Yeah, one of the areas that we were for fall camp began was kind of the two spots on the offensive line that were still up for grabs, and this is certainly not to say those position battles are over or anything, but what have you guys seen in that general area of the offensive line, and what's it looking like so far it might shake out as?
You take this one, Nick.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of versatile options that could really fall into any of those slots. I know that they were really high on Wes Martin. Coach Wilson said a lot of good things about him just during the offseason, being really tough in the weight room. You've got Tim Gardner, which we were all high on during the spring, obviously a former Ohio State commit. He obviously has the talent, so he could be an option right there at right tackle. Dimitri Kamiel saw some action at left guard, but with the medical hardship that Ralston Evans got, I think Kamiel could slide back out to right tackle since most of his experience is at that spot. So there are three or four guys that I think are in the mix. I was talking to Coach Fry the other day, and he was really high on Brandon Knight and Simon Stepniak, both true freshmen. It seemed like they could also be in the mix. It's not ideal to play true freshmen on the line, but if they're in your two deep and they're in your top 10, you might as well get them out on the field.
Yeah,
I thought that was really interesting. I really thought that was interesting. I mean, that says a ton about those two guys. If they do crack that two deep, if they earn it, they should get the play. But this is a really, really strong group of offensive linemen that I think you feel really good about no matter what 10 guys that are on the roster you get in there. I think you feel good about those 10 guys and probably even more than that. And I know they'd like to redshirt Stepniak and Knight, but, if they earn it through their hard work and through the talent that they have, if they earn it, I think you put them on that two deep, and that would be a massive accomplishment for those two guys. It would say a lot about their future. And Wes Martin is a guy that I had in the countdown series that we did. Seems like a long time ago that we had them up there. I think he's 76. But, he's a really, really big, big, strong guy. I know he excelled in shot put. And one of the things that I wrote in that article, I found a piece from the Milton local newspaper in Milton, Ohio, that mentioned their track coach talking about how they would just send Wes Martin out there for him to warm up before the shot put competition, and how the other competitors would kind of just stand around and look at Wes because of how intimidating he was. He didn't really have to say anything, but the other guys were already intimidated by him. So I think Wes Martin's definitely an intriguing talent at probably at guard because of he's 6'3", which, that's huge compared to the average man, but for an offensive lineman, he's probably going to end up at guard, which is perfectly fine if he can just be a mauler on the inside.
Yeah, and the depth plays really well because they're going to run guys in and out. They've done it all throughout Kevin Wilson's tenure here. They'll rotate. They'll keep guys fresh, especially going up against defensive lines in the Big Ten and Wake Forest. They're going to get worn out. It's just that's how football works, is that they're going to get leaned upon by these big defensive linemen. And IU's got an up-tempo offense, so it's great that they have this depth and could go 8 to 10 deep and really rotate guys in and keep guys fresh. Two guys who stood out yesterday I saw were DeAndre Heron and Delroy Baker. They made a nice combo block on forgive me if the terms are wrong, but they opened up a nice hole for, I think it was Alex Rodriguez or Ricky Brookins, from 15 yards out for a touchdown. And it was a thing of beauty. When you see something like that, you just know it was good blocking, and all the coaches were hyped and that stuff. So it's nice to see these guys come along and build some depth and finally see IU have strength in the trenches, which is always – has been for the last two decades a weakness.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think the offensive line, we knew it was going to be a strength. And from what I've heard, from what you guys have seen, from what the coaches have said, nothing has changed. And in fact, they might be even in better shape than they thought they were going to be. I think it's unquestionably, in my opinion, it's unquestionably the best part of this team, which was really Kevin Wilson's aim when he got the job, was to turn IU's offensive line into a consistent, strong force year in and year out. And that's what you see. You see up and down the depth chart, every class has quality players in it. And they continue to focus on the recruiting. I think for as long as Kevin Wilson's here, his plan is to have a really strong offensive line, and he's executing that plan. So when you see a good running game, don't just think, oh, the running backs are awesome, which they might very well be, and Kevin Coleman certainly was, but it's not just about the running back. The offensive line has a huge part in that as well, and if Sudfeld has a good year, the offensive line's been blocking well for him. So it's a huge part of the offense, and it often gets overlooked, but I think smart football fans know how big of a deal it is.
Yeah, definitely, and it's going to be key this year to keep Sudfeld upright and to get this running game going. And even if they have to tweak their offense a little bit to where they need to slow it down just so they could keep this defense and this young secondary off the field a little bit and give them rest and give them time in the game for coaches to sit down with them and maybe go over a little, tweak the coverages and show them what they have, you know, been doing well or wrong. So, you know, having a power run game, more of a power run game now and just, you know, taking the extra maybe 45 seconds to a minute on drives, I think would be huge for that defense, not only in terms of rest, but in terms of, you know, in-game learning.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to see a little bit more two tight end action. You know, Ohio State uses it a lot. They bring a guy in the backfield, the H-back, that ends up blocking for one of their running backs. And if there's a big concern about the slot position going into the fall, maybe that's something they turn to a little bit more, as, you know, a typical two tight end set with two wide receivers and a running back. I mean, they obviously they have the depth, like we said, at tight end, and two of those guys are seniors, so you really, you know, you want to maximize what they bring to the field.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that, you know, IU's had some good tight ends in the last few years under Wilson, but they were kind of underutilized. You know, Ted Bolser, who went on to play in the, with the Redskins and several other teams in the NFL, have, you know, he had five touchdowns was his high year, I believe. And so having four guys, the numbers as a unit should be going up just because, they're more experienced. They'll run their routes better. They'll get open. And they do have those mismatches. So, you know, see them, you know, less as a safety valve for Sudfeld, but more as playmakers. And maybe a number one or number two option coming out of the offense.
Yeah. I know that Donovan Clark, you know, we heard an update from Wilson that he's still struggling with the back injury that it looks like is probably going to cost him the 2015 season. Any other injuries that you want to update us on and maybe any of the young guys that have flashed in the secondary?
Isaac James had a little bit of a shoulder issue yesterday. He was working on the side. I think it happened yesterday because he was still in full pads. He took his shoulder pads off to do some side work. But he should be okay. He might be limited for the next few days. Aaron Del Grasso has a groin injury. He's been limited and really has put Griffin Oaks now in solid position to win that kicking competition. Other than that, injury-wise, I think they've come out pretty clean. Young guys in the secondary, you know, you have Devontae Williams. You know, he was running with the first team yesterday. Probably should have said that, but you know, he's been very good and he's climbed the ladder very quickly, which, you know, is good and bad. He's a great athlete and he looked like he has great instincts on the field, but you know, size might be an issue there with him. Other than that, you know, you have Keontae Walton's out there. You know, Jonathan Crawford's been playing in and out. Tyler Green has been playing a corner, who I think is the key there because he does give you some length and some size and some ability to tackle from that corner position. You know, other than that, that's basically what we've seen. We haven't seen a whole lot of practice. We've seen bits and pieces, but the bits and pieces that we have seen have been very good. And Nick and I will be down there tomorrow, so hopefully we get to see more. And we'll have more notes to give you guys next week.
Yeah, I think Coach Wilson made a good point during his press conference the other day during media day, is that, you know, all the skill position guys that he brought in this 2015 class stand a really good chance of seeing playing time. So regardless of who we see running in with the ones or the twos or the threes, they're all going to get a really good shot at performing and being able to contribute this fall.
Yeah, I think it's clear that Kerry Wilson really has the depth that he's been looking for to build since he came to Indiana for probably the first time. I know he said that this is the most talented, deepest roster he's had up and down. And I think you're going to see
the coaching staff look to take advantage of that in any way that they can.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, guys, we are running low on time. I'll get you out of here. Nick, thanks for joining us. We'll see you down at practice tomorrow. We'll look forward to your notes and practice report. Anyway, have a great day. Enjoy the beautiful weather.
All right. We'll see you guys.
See you, Nick.
All right, TJ.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Have a good week.
Yep.
We're almost there.
Yep, we're almost there. 24 days to go. We're in the final quarter. You can follow us on HoosierHuddle.com, on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We're having our countdown pieces still on. We also have our Big Ten busts and Big Ten sleeper teams coming out today, and we'll have our top five series out in the next 24 to 48 hours. Other than that, we'll be at practice tomorrow, and we'll keep you updated. So keep coming back for new content, and enjoy the great sunny summer weather.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.